Okay, good morning everybody. Gemar v'chasim matova to all. I hope you enjoyed a meaningful Yom Tov. Excuse me. So, special aseres me teshuva shir this morning. I know that it's Tzom Gedalia, but actually last week I gave a Tzom Gedalia shir and it's on Mayu Torah. So I'm not going to be talking about Tzom Gedalia today per se. You can go on Mayu Torah and find it. It's one of the closer shirim I gave it last week on Tzom Gedalia. I decided to talk about something that I realized is a quiet star of the Aser Simi Teshuvah. I didn't know what to talk about. There are so many options. We spoke about the Akedah last week. We talked so much about Teshuvah. I already spoke about Tzom Gedalia. And I decided that there is something very integral to the Aser Simi Teshuvah that does not get as much attention as some of the other parts of the liturgy. And that is a simple, I'm putting that in quotes, kapitel of Tehillim. There is a kapitel, now a lot have spoken about kapitel of Zion, because kapitel of Zion, the Davar Hashem Ori V'Yishi, we begin that by Aleph Allah, all the way through the Chagim of Tishrei. But there's actually a different kapitel of Tehillim that is very important to the liturgy of the Aser Simi Teshuvah that we start with on Rosh Hashanah through Yom HaKippurim, and that is kapitel Kof Lamed, chapter 130 of Tehillim. And I don't know, maybe I don't listen to enough shirim, I don't access enough. To me, it's not so spoken about. We talk a lot about teshuvah and atonement. Me, myself, and I also, I talk a lot about these things. I talk about the Kapitel Chav Zayin. We talk about Sefer Yonah. We spoke about the Akedah. But this actually forms an integral part of the tefillah service during the entire Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, because it is recited every single day of these 10 days after Yishtabach, before the brachos of the Kriya Shema. So we talk about Avinu Magid. So this is what I decided to speak about, and therefore this is an in-depth shir into chapter 130 of Tehillim. So I'm going to begin by just reading the psukim with the translation. I would venture to say that this is a kapitel Tehillim that you are all familiar with off by heart. It is one of the most off-recited kapitel of Tehillim. It is recited be'es tzara. It is recited in behalf of someone who needs a refuah shelema. It is often recited for Achenu B'nei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm just going to begin by reading the psukim and translating the psukim, and then we're going to look at different sources and understand how it relates to this time period of year. And again, it's an integral part of the Aseres Simi Teshuvah. I want to thank the few people who came out to join me in person. I want to personally thank you for making the effort. I know that the weather is much more conducive to staying at home, so I appreciate the efforts you made to come in person. I also appreciate the people on Zoom who are taking the time to join us this morning to be inspired by some Divrei Torah. So there's no specific dedication, but the prisoner escape in Eretz Yisrael is quite shocking. And I'm sure on everybody's mind, they said it's the worst catastrophe in the history of prison services. The prisoners have not been found. So Hashem should just bench our people and our land with shalom. Shir ha-ma'alos mi-ma'amakim karasicha Hashem. A song of ascents from the depths. It's not on your handout. I think that everyone knows it off by heart. I wasn't going to waste the ink of the young Israel Vurmir and put it on your handout. I'm just reading and translating the psukim. I know you're all familiar with these psukim. Shir ha-ma'alos mi-ma'amakim karasicha Hashem. A song of ascents from the depths. I call out to you, Hashem. Hashem, shim'a v'koli. God, please listen. Hear my voice. Tiena aznecha kashuvos. Your ears shall pay attention. The call tachanunai, to the voice of my supplication. Im avonos tishmor ka Hashem mia amod. And this has a lot to do with the theme of teshuva. If you hold on to iniquity, God, who could stand before you? If Hashem is now in his great mercy willing to forgive our sin, who could stand before God? The answer would be nobody. Im avanos tishmarka Hashem mia amod. If you hold on to iniquity, God, who could stand before you? Ki imcha hasalicha. But with you is forgiveness. Laman tivarei, so that you will be feared. I repeated this in a shir the other week. Not in the youngest of women. I don't remember which venue, but Rabbi Zev left from Moshav Matityahu says slicha is from the word hatzlacha. the samech replaced with a tzadi tzalach, to be successful. So when God grants us pardon and forgiveness, we are on the path to new success. Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi. I hope in you. I put my confidence in you. My soul has confidence. V'lidvara hochalti. And for your word, for his word, I wait. So I'm waiting and I have hope in you and in your word. Nafshi la Hashem. My soul is to God. Mishomrim laboker. And then we repeat again, Shomim laboker. And we're going to understand why we repeat this two times. My soul is to God. Like those who wait for the morning, wait for the morning. Yachav Yisrael el Hashem. Israel hopes to Hashem ki im Hashem hachased, for with God is kindness. V'har be'imo fudus. And with him is abundant redemption. He can redeem us, pidyon shvuim. V'hu yifta as Yisrael. May he redeem Israel mikol avon usav, from all of its iniquity. So we understand, first of all, just the most basic pshah, what this has to do with this time period. We call out to the depths, from the depths of despair, to the Almighty who has the books of life and death open before him. And David HaMelech acknowledges that if God does not forgive sin, nobody can stand before him. And in fact, the capital ends by saying he will redeem Israel from all of its iniquity. So Hashem must first forgive our avonos, our sin, in order to redeem us. So with that, that is the basic pshat again. This is capital is recited every day after Yishtabach, before the Berachas of Kriya Shema, beginning on Rosh Hashanah, through the entire Asaras Yimei Teshuvah. So now for the people at home, I'm going to begin by screen sharing my handout. For the people here, make sure you have taken one from the Bima. Could you see that my screen says on the top Rashi Titel 130? Yes, Paul spoke. You're saying yes? Yes. Okay. So here we go. So we're just going to begin, not just, but we're going to begin after the psukim with the psha by looking at what Rashi has to say in his commentary to this Tehillim. Ki im chaslicha. So the pasuk says, im avodos tishmarka. If God holds on to iniquity, miya amor, who could stand before Hashem? Ki im chaslicha. But lahafach adara. But God does not hold on to iniquity. With you is forgiveness, says Rabbi Zavlef, slach, like tzlach, leman tivarei, from the word so you shall be feared, so there shall be reverence of awe. So we see in Rashi, ki imcha hasalicha, with you is forgiveness, lo nasata rashus l'shaliach l'shloach. So it's interesting. Certain things are done, so to speak, via ashaliach, but when it comes to salicha, when it comes to God's pardon, like for example, last week we spoke about that Keda in depth. So he spoke about the Akedah. It was a malach of Hashem that called out to Avram and said, Al tishlach nas yarcha, do not send forth your hand. Vayikra elav malach Hashem min Hashemayim. So that's a shaliach of God telling Avram, don't shecht your son. Or another example of Avram, the angels came to his tent to give him refuah shelema. An agent of God came to give refuah shelema to say that Sarah will have a baby. So sometimes Hashem acts via an agent. I just gave you two examples from Sefer Bereishis. But when it comes to ki imcha hasalicha, nobody but God could totally forgive a person's iniquity and sin, because a human being cannot, or any other being, cannot totally erase the past. Only Hashem could remake the past. Even if you grant somebody forgiveness, in the back of your mind, you granted them forgiveness, it's very important, but in the back of your mind, you always know what they did to you. They did that. We can't change the past. So only Hashem could totally grant that salicha, that pardon and forgiveness, because he could totally erase the past, something that nobody else could do. Lo nasata rishus l'shaliach l'shloach. You, God, have not given permission to a shaliach, an emissary, to grant forgiveness. Kemoshe ne'emar, like the pasuk says in Sefer Shemos, this is in the aftermath of Chet Ha'egel. So in the aftermath of Chet Ha'egel, Hashem said, I'm not going to go before you, ki lo yisal l'pash'echem. No, Hashem says about sending a malach, do not. Hashem said, he's angry at Am Yisrael. He's going to send a malach to lead them instead of himself. And he says, you have to be very careful before that malach. Don't get into trouble, because he will not forgive your iniquity. He won't carry your sin, the angel. Meaning Hashem carries iniquity. Hashem forgives us, but an emissary does not. Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. I put my confidence or my hope in Hashem, my soul's confidence in God, and to his word I wait. So what does Rashi have to say? Kivui acha kivui. It is hope after hope. It's something that I stress all the time. Mikveh is a pool of water. It means tikva, hope, and kav is a line where we are connected to God. So here you see a double lashon of hope and longing for God. Kivui achar kivui. It is hope after hope. It's not just kivisi Hashem nafshi. It's kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi. A Jew does not give up hoping to God. Kivui achar kivui. Hope after hope. Ka'ayan, kav ah. And then when I was preparing shir, I found this to be very interesting. When did I prepare shir? Last night. Like last night after, when should I prepare? I didn't have time before with all the shir. I'm preparing for Yantif. I didn't even know what I was going to be speaking about this morning. And then on Rosh Hashanah, when I said Kapitul Kaflamna Tim, I said, wait a minute, I've never given a Seres Yemei Teshuvah Elul Shir on this. It's such an important part of the liturgy. So Baruch Hashem had koch and Siyata Deshmaya last night to stay up and do what I had to do. So I found it so interesting. I see so much Siyata Deshmaya when I prepare my shir, because what is Rashi on Kapitul Kaflamna quote as a source where you have hope after hope? Kapitul Chav Zayin of Tehillim. That's Kapitul Chav Zayin of Tehillim. It's recited every day from Rosh Chodesh Elul through the Chagim of Tishrei. It's the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. So I thought that that was wonderful to come across Rashi, where to bolster his theory that it's hope after hope, or his pshat, I should say, hope after hope. In chapter 130, he says, just like in chapter 27, which we also happen to say during this time, just like, says Rashi, Kavei El Hashem, Chazach, V'yamitzibecha, V'kavei El Hashem. That's chapter 27 of Tehillim, verse 14. It's the final pasuk in chapter 27 of Tehillim. So there too, you see a double lashon, kav el Hashem, hope to God. Same lashon, kivisi kav, chazak v'ametzibecha, strengthen and fortify, but kav el Hashem, once again, hope to God. Ka'ayan, just like later in the same kapitel, chapter 130, nafshi l'Hashem mishomim l'boker, shomim l'boker. So you see this double lashon two times in chapter 130, kivisi Hashem Kivsa nafshi, shomim laboker, shomim laboker. And in chapter 27, where there's a double lashon of hope and longing and waiting for God. Nafshi l'Hashem mishomim laboker, says Rashi. So this is the third source in Rashi on your handout. My soul waits to God. My soul hopes to God, like those who hope for the morning. Hareini min hamitzapim l'geula. What does it mean? Nafshi l'Hashem mishomim laboker, shomim laboker. I'm waiting for the morning. Sometimes if you can't sleep at night, you just wait for the morning, just let it be morning already. You know, it's 3:30. How many more hours of laying here awake until it's the morning? So then you're waiting for the morning. If you have a very exciting event in the morning, maybe you're coming to shir, so you're excited, so you're waiting for morning. It's a joke. So you're waiting for the morning. But what does it really mean, waiting for morning? I'm waiting for morning. So night is a metaphor for galus, and the morning is a metaphor for geula. Going back to Sefer Bereishis, Vayehi Hashemesh Lavo, Vatader Minafla Al Avraham, V'ine Emech Hashecha Gadol Onofelos Alav, chapter 15, the Brisbane Habsarim, the sun set, a deep darkness fell on Avraham, and the Mefarshim there say this is equated with the Arba Golius. He saw the four exiles from the midst of this darkness. Okay? Another thing, when Yaakov Avinu was fighting on the river Yabok, Parshas Vayishlach, did I say Avram? Yaakov is fighting with the Sar Shel Esav on the river Yabok, and they fought at Alos HaShachar. And then when the morning sun rose, Yaakov was limping, but he was successful. Once again, it represents the geula that will come to his children. So shomim laboker, Rashi says, very important. It doesn't mean stam, you're waiting for the morning on your watch. It means I am waiting for the geula ha'asida. I'm waiting for redemption, which is equated with morning. Why? Dark is a scary time, and morning is a time where things are light and clear, and that's geula. Shomim laboker. So why does it repeat shomim laboker? Excuse me. Mitzapin v'chozrin mitzapin keitz achar keitz. So the same idea that you long and you wait and you hope, and the geula didn't come. So what do? You long and you wait and you hope some more. So this is the Rashi's that I chose to point out to you on this kapitel of Tehillim. I'm now going to go to Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal, before we go to the next source on your handout. I'm now going to quote some of the insights of Rav Salvechik. I'm quoting from Machzor Masoras HaRav L'Rosh Hashanah. I was so excited. I was in shul, and there was a young, I'm going to say girl, she was married. She had like a two-year-old, it looked like. So to me, that's still, you know, a young girl. But and she had the same machzor. I never saw anyone else with the same machzer. I was so excited. And then she had to go out to do something with her kid. When she came back, I was able to show her the exact page. I was very excited. I've been recommending these machzorim for years. So what does Rav Salvechuk say about this commentary to this capital of Tehillim? Machzer Masoras Harav L'Rosh Hashanah. Shir HaMa'alos Mima Amakim. A song of ascents from the depths, from the deepest places in a person's recesses. A Jewish doctor, an atheist, the Rav says, wrote a memoir of his experiences as a concentration camp inmate in a concentration camp in Latvia. The daily schedule required the inmates to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to perform back-breaking labor for 14 hours a day in sub-zero temperatures wearing threadbare clothing. 4:30 in the morning, something you could say the words, but it doesn't have any real meaning or grasp to us. He was a Jewish doctor, and he left memoirs, and he was in this concentration camp in Latvia. The work itself was useless. The routine was designed merely to exhaust the inmates. Many left for work, never to return. Those who did survive the exhausting day of slave labor were forced to stand in line at the gate upon return to the concentration camp, where doctors at the entrance examined each inmate. Those deemed at the end of the day too healthy to continue were sent to the gas chambers and the crematoria. One, he writes, can only imagine, says the Rav, I'm going to say, one cannot possibly imagine the thoughts that went through the minds of those who passed this daily inspection. They averted a death sentence to merit yet another day of grueling labor. In his memoir, the doctor wrote of a group of yeshiva students along with their Rosh Yeshiva. They were followers of the Musar school of Navardak. They were imprisoned in the concentration camp along with him. If you remember, the Rav introduces this by saying a Jewish doctor and atheist. At night, upon their return to the barracks, these yeshiva students would sit on the ground along with their Rosh Yeshiva, and they would recite Tehillim. And they would say, Shir HaMa'alos Mi Ma'amakim Kerasich HaShem, a song of ascents from the depths I call out to you, Lord. Witnessing this scene, the doctor wrote, he would have given up his very life to have the faith to recite Psalms under such circumstances. The uniqueness of the Jew, comments the Rav, is the ability to perceive God's presence even in terrible conditions. My grandfather writes in his memoirs, which I think of every year during this time period, and specifically on Yom Kippur, my grandfather, Lav Hashem, writes in his memoirs, Yitzchak ben Moshe, that after a hard day of slave labor, they returned to the barracks to daven Ne'ilah with a minyan in the barracks. He says, yet to us the heavens were closed, but all of us vigorously pleaded for help. So Rav Salvechuk brings us this reminiscence, memory from this atheist Jewish doctor. And this capital has come to represent really the depths of the Jew in pain. And yet, what do we do? Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'lidvara hachotu. We hope to God, then we again long and hope to God. And for your word, I await, Hashem. Mima amakim. What does it mean, mima amakim? Shir hama'alos, a song of ascents, like Milos. It was one of the 15 capitals of Tehillim corresponding to the steps leading up to the Beis HaMikdash. So what is Mima Amakim from the depths? So Rav Salvechuk says you can interpret. By the way, I'm not reading you all the commentary to this capital of Tehillim from the Rav's Machzer. So if you do have the Rav's Machzer on Rosh Hashanah, you might want to look at everything he says. I've just chosen a few insights. It's from page 245 through 249, the Rav's commentary to this chapter of Tehillim. So what does it mean, Mima Amakim, from the depths? So Rav Salvechuk gives us two different interpretations as to how we understand that a Jew calls from the depths. The first one is the way that we commonly understand this term, which means out of the depths of despair, agony, and distress. And that is how we usually see this capital of Tehillim. It is a tefillah, a chapter of Psalms, a prayer, a hope, a longing from a place of despair, agony, and distress. I'm sure we all remember when the whole Am Yisrael was saying Tehillim in the summer of 2014 when the three boys were kidnapped, and it's a chapter that we refer to over and over, quote, out of the depths of despair, agony, and distress. In this sense, says the Rav, the Zohar refers to 10 levels of Mima Makim. Rav Eitrick does not quote all 10 levels. He only tells us two, including poverty and old age. So there are different stages of Mima Makim when a person feels despair, agony, and distress. The Zohar actually delineates 10 of those levels. I wouldn't even know where to look it up. And Rav Eitrick doesn't quote it, but two of them include poverty and old age. But now he gives us a second interpretation of Mima Makim. Out of the depths, I call out to you, Lord. And what is the second interpretation? In contrast to the pseudo-personality of public man, pseudo-personality, you have a public personality. And in Latin, homo revelatus, like reveal, R-E-V-E-L-A-T-U-S. I'm not sure. Homo, like homo sapien person. Revelatus, a person's revealed personality. So that's a personality that everybody sees when you go out into the street, when you get dressed, when you attend the shir, when you go to the supermarket, maybe, when you, when you're in public, when you're in shul, there is a public personality. But there is also, in contrast to that public personality, a private man. And that is a person who is, quote, hidden, mysterious, perhaps even unknown to himself, says the Rav. This mysterious aspect of a person represents the true personality. That is the person that is deep within you. That is the aspect of your neshama that is in the deepest recesses of your soul that nobody knows about. You have a secret with Hashem that is only between you and the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not something that's apparent to the naked eye. It's not something people see when they go out. It may not even be apparent to your family members. It's something between you and you and the Ribono Shel Olam. Hidden within the deepest recesses of your personality, you call out to God. One that has not been affected by sin. So it's not Mima Makim from the depths of agony and despair, but it means from the deepest place in my neshama tahora. That is how I call out to you, God. The sinner has no right to call unto God. However, the deepest recesses of the pure neshama have the right to call out to the Ribono Shel Olam. So Mima Makim takes a dual meaning. One is the typical meaning, agony, despair, distress, such as, says the Zohar, poverty and old age, when a person calls out or cries out to the Ribono Shel Olam. But another aspect means the deepest part of yourself. It might even be unknown to you. Sometimes a person isn't even so self-aware of who they really are, or it might be known to you, but hidden from everybody else. And from that deep place, and maybe you felt this on Rosh Hashanah, in your davening, excuse me, maybe you felt that on Rosh Hashanah in your davening, you know, you're all standing in shul and that's your public personality, but inside everyone is calling out to Hashem from the deepest, most inner place of your soul, and that is hidden from everyone who sees you. Just because they see the external, they do not see that hidden aspect. So that is Mima Makim. Hashem Shema Bekoli. And therefore, says the Rav, we plead to God to listen to our inner voice. It is the inner voice, Bekoli. It doesn't just mean the physical words that I'm forming with my tongue and my teeth and my palate and my air and, you know, wherever the air comes from, my lungs. It means, says the Rav, plead to God to listen to our inner voice, the inner voice that emanates from your true personality. Im avonos tishmar ka Hashem mia amod. If you preserve iniquity, if you hold on to sin, God, who could stand before you? Says the Rav, if you take, meaning God, if you take account of the pseudo-personality of the sinner, who could possibly approach you for forgiveness? What we're saying is, don't look at our exterior. Look at our true inner non-sinning essence, the core of Salvechik. Imavonos tishmarka Hashem mia amar. If you only look at the external God, we can't stand before you. But please look deep within ourselves. Nafshi la Hashem mishamim laboker, shamim laboker. My soul longs to God like those who yearn for the dawn. The Rambam says, the Rav says, that the Rambam describes the great power of teshuva. Just last night, says the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Teshuvah. Just last night, says the Rambam, this person was despised by God. He was cut off and separated from him. And today, says the Rambam, after Teshuvah, he is beloved and close to God. This is the Lashon of the Rambam. I'm actually speaking in Brooklyn, Be'ezer Hashem, Sunday evening, and I'm actually going to be quoting this piece of Hilchos Teshuvah inside. I was already prepared before. So we gave one interpretation. Longing for mourning, based on Rashi, means longing for the Geula. But here Rav Soloveitchik gives us a different aspect based on the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam says before Teshuvah, i.e. last night, that person was a sinner and despised by God. After Teshuvah, i.e. the next day when morning dawns, he is a Chozer b'Teshuvah, he is a repentant, and he is beloved by God. So here, Mishamim Laboker, Shamim Laboker, refers to the fact that we are waiting to be cleansed and born anew with the power of Teshuvah. Although forgiveness can be gradual, says the Rav, the psalmist in this verse, King David here, expresses dissatisfaction with a slow process. When you repeat something, it means you're impatient. You want it to happen. Show me my book or show me. I'm waiting. You know what it's like? When you're driving in the car with the kids on a very long trip when they're young, and they say, when are we going to be there? And then you say, we're going to be there soon. And then an hour later, when it's a 10-hour trip, they say, when are we going to be there? And then an hour, when are we? So asking again and again means an impatience. We were in Shul on the first day, so I don't know, I was wearing my watch, so at one point I looked at my watch, and then at another point I almost looked at my watch again, and then I stopped. I did not look at my watch. The second day I just took it off, I put it in my bag so I wouldn't even be tempted to look at my watch. So when we came out of Shul on the first day, I said to one of the boys, I didn't look at my watch. Do you know why? He said, no. I said, you don't know why? And this is a kid who follows politics, so I was very surprised that he didn't know why. So then the next one came out, and I said, we were talking about whatever, Davin was very nice, the time is, so I said, I didn't look at my watch, why not? So he said, because of President Biden and the Marines. I said, that's exactly right. So I'm sure that you saw that Biden was heavily criticized, because three times, you didn't see? Oh, in the ceremony, welcoming home, Rahman al-Atslan, the 13 Marines who were killed in Kabul, Afghanistan, and the suicide bombings in the airports. You could see the videos. Biden was heavily criticized for looking at his watch three times. What does looking at your watch mean? I'm impatient. I want to get out of here. What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? So I thought to myself, and sure, wait a minute. What does it mean if I'm looking at my watch? God, I want to get out of here. I have to go home already. So impatience is a double lashon. In this case, it's a good double lashon, that says the Rav. Looking at your watch means, when is it morning? When is it morning? When is Musaf? When is it Kiyah Gadolah? When am I going to get out of here? Lahabda al-$5. Biden is thinking, I don't know what he has to do next, but with 13 dead Marines in front of him after the complete disaster and fiasco, he's looking at his watch. So here, it's in a good sense. Mishomim Maboker, Shomim Maboker, it's an impatience for what? One, for the Geula to come. And that is something that we should long for. We shouldn't get so patient and so comfortable here that, you know, we forget about the Geula. And we're going to go soon to the Rabbeinu Bechai, which is extremely powerful. But also Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the double shomim laboker? That we want God to transform us. Ki imcha hasalicha, with your great mercy, we don't want to wait for the personal redemption. We don't want to wait for the personal cleansing. Through the process of teshuvah, ki imcha hasalicha leman tivrei, ki vizi Hashem kivsan nafshi, shomim laboker, shomim laboker. I want to be quickly remade into a new person. I don't have the patience to wait. Says the Rav, for this, the psalmist longs. This was all notes from a teshuvah lecture in 1970, as brought down in the Smachzer. So here we see a good aspect to impatience. We shouldn't become so patient and so complacent with the galus that we forget where we are. We should impatiently wait. The Chafetz Chaim used to sit outside of his grocery store with his bag packed because he was waiting for the Mashiach. I now want to go with you to an extremely powerful, unbelievable Rabbeinu Bechaya. So now I'm going back to my screen share. Let me just find where it is. Okay, please look on your handout. We're going to go through this together. Actually,
I can't see.
Okay. Before I screen share, I'm not screen sharing yet. I'm actually going to go to Perek Hay and Sefer Shemos. Okay, I'm just going to give you an overview of what happens in chapter 5 of the book of Shemos. Okay, chapter 1 is the Shuba Mitzrayim, and the midwife should throw all the Jewish babies into the river. Chapter 2, Moshe Rabbeinu is born, he goes to Minyan, Tzipora by the well, he meets her by the well. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 through verse 18 are Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, and then he has to go back to Yisro and tell him that he's leaving. Chapter 5 is Moshe comes to Egypt. Okay, good. Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, and this is going to be relevant to the Rabbeinu Bechaya, so please listen to the Psukim. Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they say, so says the God of Israel, Shlach es Ami, the Redeemer is finally here, send my nation, ve'yachog li b'midbar, they'll have a chag. God says, send my nation, they'll have a chag to me in the desert. So Paro famously says, Perek Hei Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bekalo, L'shalach Es Yisrael, Lo Yadati Es Hashem, V'gam Es Yisrael, Lo Shalech. Thanks very much for stopping by. I don't know who this God is. I'm not sending them. I don't know God. I'm not sending the slaves. So they say, the God of the Hebrews called us. They told us 3 days in the desert. We will bring sacrifices. Okay. So the king of Egypt says, what are you, nuts? Why do you distract the people from their work? Go back to your hard work. He doesn't want to hear any of this. And he says, make the work harder. So Moshe and Aaron appear on the scene. And Paro says, do not. I'm just paraphrasing the Pesukim. We don't have time to go through the whole parakeh. Go look it up inside at home if you want. But Paro now says, no more straw to make the bricks. They have to have the same quota of bricks. But now they're not getting straw. What do they have to do? They have to spread out into the fields. Why? Ki nirpim him. They're lazy. They're screaming, saying, we want to go to the desert and sacrifice to our God. Tichbad ha'avoda al ha'anashim. Make the work harder. V'yasuba, they got to work. V'al yishu b'divrei shakar. They should not listen to these lies. Don't let their hearts and their minds be persuaded by these words of sheker. And the people have to spread out in the whole land of Egypt, the Koshesh, Kosh, Latavin. So what happens? Moshe and Aaron come before Pharaoh, and they say, so says the God of Israel, so says the God of the Hebrews, send my people so they can worship me. And what does Pharaoh say? Now the goal is going to be much worse. You have to make the same quota of bricks as you had to make before, but now you're not getting straw. And the people scream to Paro, what's going on here? Nirpim atem, nirpim, you're lazy, you're lazy. You're saying we want to go sacrifice to our God. Go work in the fields, we're not giving you straw. You still have to meet the same quota of bricks. Vayiru shotrei b'nei Yisrael osam b'ra'al lemer. And the officers of Israel saw them in a bad state. It was very hard for the Jews. And they meet Moshe and Aaron, and they say, why did you come here? I'm just paraphrasing the Pesukim. God should judge you. Why did you come here, say the Shochim, the Israelite Shochim, the officers? The work is much worse. So Moshe goes to God and he says, you know what? Why did he do bad to these people? Why did he talk assembly? Let's look at this Rabbeinu Bechaya. Here we go. No, wrong sheet. No, that was the right sheet. 1 second, please. I have to go back. I did the wrong sheet. Where is that? I closed it. 1 second, please. I accidentally closed my handout. Okay, just a minute. Okay, 1 second, please. I have to reopen what I closed. One moment. Here we go. Here's the sheet again. I'm coming back to you. Now I'm screen sharing again. Okay. Could you see Rabbeinu Bechaya to Shemos 5:22? Yes. Okay. So Shemos 5:22. I gave you the handout on the bottom, so you see the pasuk, the footnote right at the bottom of your handout. Right. Vayashav Moshe El Hashem. Moshe returns to God. Vayomer. Look on your footnote, everybody. This is the pasuk that Rabbeinu Bechaya is quoting. Hashem, lama hari osalam hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani. Why am I here? You told me to free the Jews by the snare, I'm taking them to land of Zavas Chal Vudvash. You told me you were going to worship you on this mountain. Everything's good, Bishmak. I come to Pharaoh with Aaron and I say, send the Jews. We're going to have a yontif to God. And Paro says, you're all lazy. You're not getting straw. Same quota of bricks. Go back to your work. Don't listen to these lies. Now the people are spreading out the land. Now the Shochim are screaming at us. So the Golos is much worse. So why am I here? Let's look at this unbelievable Rabbeinu Bechaya, please. Okay? Vida. By the way, it's a very long Rabbeinu Bechaya. You'll see in the Mikros Kodos, if you look it up, this is the very end of his comment. To Pasu Parakei, Pasu Chavbeis, and Shemos. Vida. Ki inyanei ha-galos ha-zeh ha-rishon, remez inyanei goloseinu, zeh ha-acharon. You should know there are many aspects of this first exile, meaning the exile of the Shibur Mitzrayim, have a lot of allusions in the matter that's relevant to our galos, zeh ha-acharon, sha'anu amdimbo. There's a lot of relevance between, the translation here is my own, there's a lot of relevance between the galos Mitzrayim, which was the first national exile, and this galus that we are in, which is the last galus, b'shibur v'yisurin b'reshus malchus Edom, with the enslavement and the yisurin that come to us under the dominion, we're in the final galus of the four galus, and we see a lot of oppression and a lot of tsaros and a lot of yisurin under malchus Edom. V'anu mitzapin liyeshuas Hashem Yisbarach, and we are waiting in this terrible galus for the Yeshua, the salvation of Hashem, ki inyan she'emar David alav shalom, just like David, may his memory be for blessing, says about this matter, I bolded this for you, nafshi laHashem mishomim laboker, shomim laboker, my soul longs to God, like those who wait for the morning, like those who wait for the morning. Now, we already saw Rashi, earlier source on your handout, just a few lines up, that Rashi says waiting for the morning means waiting for the Geula and waiting for the redemption. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says there's a lot of similarities between the first Galus, Galus of Egypt, and this last Galus, Galus of Edom, Romi, that destroyed the second temple, and here we still are, and we have Shiblud, and we have Yisurin. Mi matinim, we wait, v'chozrim, we go back, umamtinim, and we wait again. So we wait for Mashiach, we wait for Geula, he doesn't come. So what does the Jew do? Do they throw in the towel and they say, me and Mashiach are finished, we stop saying the animamim, now there's only 12 animamims instead of 13. No, we go back. Doesn't mean a physical place of going back anywhere. It means emotionally, religiously, psychologically. We strengthen ourselves and we go back just like, how do we learn that, says Rabbeinu Bechaya? From Kapitel Kuf Lamed of Tehillim. Nafshi l'Hashem mishomim laboker, shomim laboker. The double lashon proves that we wait for the morning, the dawn of redemption. And then again, we wait for the morning. V'im tis acher ha-geula lavo. And if it takes a long time, taka, for the redemption to come, he's very late. He's late. Hakol lahosif lanu schar tov v'heitiv asana b'achriseinu. We have to have emuna that this is to give us a lot of schar. We will get a lot of good reward for all of the yisurim that we suffered through and all of this waiting. And in the end, it will be good for us. Sometimes it's hard to remember that when you're going through the difficulties of galus, that it's really for our good. Well, the heitivo son of Achriseinu, so Hashem will do good for us in the end. Ukedai the hosif peranus ve'ongash ve'osam hamishtabim baru. And also, the length of galus means that God will add peranus and onesh, travails and afflictions and punishment to those who have enslaved us. Just like Paro enslaved them for such a long time. They were in Egypt for 210 years. They were enslaved for 116 of those 210 years. Paro met his end. There were Peranus and Onesh. Him and the Egyptians were decimated in the 10 plagues, and those who managed to survive the 10 plagues were killed by Yamsuf. So the length of the Galus is twofold. Number one, it gives us extra schar for being believing Jews and not throwing out the animamin of Bivias HaMashiach. We still believe, we go back and we believe again. We get extra schar, it will be good for us in the end. And furthermore, the length of the galus and the enslavement of the Ummah Sa'olam upon us will bring them punishments and Yeshurim as well. Ukashem Shamatzinu, second paragraph. Ukashem Shamatzinu, Shanidcha Ka Lahem Hashali Shah B'Mitzrayim, Me'ez Basa Gol HaRishon Lefnei Par. What happened in Egypt? I gave you an extremely quick synopsis of Perek Hey of Sefer Shemos, just so we have some frame of reference here. But what happened? Like we found, that the Geula was pushed off for Israel in Egypt from the time that the first Redeemer came to Pharaoh. So he comes, you think the Geula is at hand. Not only is the Geula not at hand, but it's darker. It's worse. Va'amar lo b'dvar Hashem Yisparach, Moshe said by the word of God, Shlach esami v'yachogli b'midbar. You know, send my people, they're going to have a yantif to me in the desert. So what should happen if it's really Geula, if it's really Mashiach, people are waiting 116 years, what do you think should happen? The gate should open and the Jews should leave. Adaraba, acharizos kavdalem havoya. What happened after the Redeemer came? It got even worse. The work was harder. V'nis'orera aleim hasina. Whoa. And the hatred of the Egyptians was aroused against them. V'nitosfa b'neihem me'od. Amasha ha'isa, like lohosif. And the hatred of the Egyptians was added on even more than it was. Now there's propaganda. You're lazy, nirpim, atem nirpim, al yishu b'divrei sheker, you're listening to these lies, these people are trying to persuade you to listen to falsehood. So what happens? The work gets worse, and the hatred of the Egyptians for the Israelites also gets worse. Kein b'gul oseinu zos ha'asida, kein b'gul oseinu. So too it's going to be like with us. Ha'asida, in the future, our redemption, b'hi galos ha'gol ha'acharon. When the Redeemer is finally redeemed. Now he's talking about us. When the Redeemer is actually redeemed. Titorer hasina bena akum li Yisrael v'yosifu shibud al shibudam. It's very, very dark at night. But the darkest part of night is right before the dawn. When did the work get worse in Egypt? When the Redeemer came. And he says, that's going to be like us with the final redemption. The sina amongst the Umas HaOlam to Klal Yisrael will be aroused even more. And they will increase the shibur, the enslavement, the oppression. Listen, it doesn't literally have to mean enslavement like building pyramids. Okay, we're all enslaved in Galus. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we live like we are or not, we're in shibur Galus. It's a condition of Galus. And what's going to happen is when the Redeemer is revealed, the hatred, they don't want to let us go. So the hatred of the Umas HaOlam is going to be increased, and they will increase oppression on top of oppression, just like in Egypt. The Redeemer will be revealed, but then he will be hidden once again. So they will make a mistake. And to harden their hearts. He doesn't say it here. The Torah is a blueprint for what happens for all generations. So this pattern of Galus and Geula is exactly what we're going to see by the final redemption, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. When the Redeemer finally comes, it's going to be much worse. They're going to have even more hatred of us, more enslavement of us, like we saw on the template of Parakeh in Sefer Shemos. By the way, everyone knows why I'm bringing this Rabbeinu Bechaya, right? Besides the fact that it's very relevant to Galus, Rachman Alitzan, and Geula, why am I bringing the Rabbeinu Bechaya? I hope someone knows. Because what pasuk does he quote in the first paragraph? Nafshi l'Hashem mishomim l'boker, shomim l'boker. He's expanding upon the pasuk from Kapitel Kof Lamed, which is the topic of our shir today. Right? Just frame of reference, if you're not sure why we're doing this, from Parsha Shemos. It's because right in the opening lines of this pshat, he refers you back to chapter 130 of Tehillim, where King David says, I am like those who long for the morning. But then I don't give up, I go back and long for the morning. And clearly he says this is referring to longing for redemption. Right? So, furthermore, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, by the final galus, geula, the Redeemer will be revealed, but then he will be hidden again. And in the interim, while he's hidden, that's when things will become harder. Shekei mitzinu b'geulas Mitzrayim. So we found by the geula Mitzrayim, shenigla lahem Moshe, v'chazar v'nichsameh. Moshe was first revealed. This is very interesting. You have to remember that not everything in the Torah, there's a lot of timelines in the Torah that we don't know. I've told this to you many times. From the time Moshe ran away to Midian to the time he married Zipporah, according to the Ramban, at least, was 60 years. He ran away at the age of 20, and God appears to him at 80. So it's like 60 years. But if you look in the Pesukim, you think it's 5 minutes. It's not 5 minutes, okay? So interestingly, he brings up this idea and he's going to quote the Midrash, where Moshe was revealed, but then went back to Midian and was hidden again. The work got worse and then Moshe came back. So Moshe was revealed, v'chazar v'nichsameyem. He went back and he was hidden. V'zer shadarshu v'zal. And that's like the rabbis explained. V'yifku Moshe es Vayifku asked Moshe v'Aaron, and the Shotrim met Moshe and Aaron, and they're complaining to Moshe and Aaron. Achar shisha chadashim nigal kodesh baruch hu mimidyan v'amar lo shuv k'mitzrayma. Very interesting. 6 months after, apparently, Moshe was first revealed. He went back to Midian. He stayed there, and after 6 months, God said, now go back. But in the interim, the people were suffering terribly. They probably didn't even believe that Moshe was the Redeemer. He comes and he says, I'm here to redeem you. And what does Paro say? You're all lazy, more backbreaking labor, more concentration camps, more slave labor camps. And Moshe's going back to Midian. So what are we supposed to think? We're supposed to think that this is Geula. Ba Moshe mi Midian, va'ar mi Mitzrayim, v'pagu bam shoter Yisrael, k'shem yotzim lefnei Paro. After that interim period where Moshe was hidden from them again, now Moshe comes from Midian. Aaron comes from the Egyptian metropolis, and they meet the Shochim. And if you remember in the Pesukim, I told you, the Shochim blame Moshe and Aaron. They say, why did you even come here? Leave us alone. It was better before you came here. The Chayin Darshu B'Midrash Chazi. So too it is brought down in this Midrash Chazi. I'm not sure what Midrash Chazi is. But the Pasuk says in Shir Shirim, Dome Dodi Latzvi. My beloved is compared to a heart. H-A-R-T, not H-E-A-R-T. Even though hopefully your beloved is also compared to, or has a place in your heart, here it doesn't mean that. Dome dodi latzvi. What does that mean? Ma tzvi zehu nir'eh v'nichseh v'chozer v'nir'eh. If you've ever watched nature documentaries, Hashem makes animals so amazing. The way they blend in to their environment and natural habitat is incredible. So the fact that frogs who live in the swamp are that black, green, murky color is to help them blend in from predators. The fact that cheetah have spots is because when they run on the African savannah in the dry grasses, they blend in. So Arctic owls and Arctic foxes are white. Why is an Arctic fox white? Because it lives on... Hopefully there won't be too much global warming and there will be some ice and snow left, and it lives in that kind of environment, just like polar bears are white and brown bears in the forest are brown. It's incredible. So it's interesting. Rabbeinu Bechai touches upon this idea. Why is my beloved, what does it mean God is like a tzvi? Dome dodi la tzvi. My beloved is a metaphor for God is like a heart, H-A-R-T. Just like a tzvi appears, and then it's hidden. You see a deer, when it goes into the forest, you can't see it anymore. When it's hidden by the tall grasses, you can't see it anymore. It's totally camouflaged. That's sometimes what happens with us and our ability to see the Ribono Shel Olam. Nir'eh, I see him. V'nichseh, he's so hidden. V'chozer, v'nir'eh. Oh, I could see the deer in the clearing. But then as soon as he goes into the forest, I mean, this is just a scientific fact. You can't see him again. Kach gol harishon nir'eh lahem v'chazer v'nichseh mehem v'chazer v'nir'eh lahem. So to the first redeemer, meaning Moshe, was revealed to them, and then hidden, and then revealed, and then hidden. V'kama nichseh mehem. Hello. Wait, so what is he saying? That's how it's going to be by our Geula. It's not such a straight process to redemption. The Redeemer is going to be seen, but then hidden. The work will be worse. The Shibud will be worse. The Sina will be worse. This is all synopsis of what the Rabbeinu Bechai tells us. So Rabbi Tanchuma says he was hidden for 3 months. Like the Pasuk says, Vayifku as Moshe v'Aaron. And so there's different opinions. We saw 6 months. We saw 3 months. But Bekitzer, the idea is that it's not a straight process. And that's why you need Nafshi LaHashem Mishomim LaBoker. You think the morning is there, and then, oh no, it's not here. Mishomim laboker. You need to keep waiting. Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi. Kivsa nafshi. I wait, and I wait some more. Chazak v'yameit zibecha v'kavei Hashem. Remember that Rashi quotes Kapitul Chav Zayin. So you see, Rasav Eitrik says in a totally different piece, what is required of the Jew in Galus? Patience. Remember, we said we're impatient, says Rav. We want it to come right away. But it doesn't come right away. That's not the process of redemption. Just like in Egypt, it didn't come right away. Not only did it not come right away, it got darker before it got lighter. We're in a dark galus. We're in a very dark, very difficult galus. So Rabbi Tanchuma says, 3 months, they met Moshe and Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't know what this means, the kerisin. I don't know if anyone knows, you could tell me what it means. Baklomer, la shom pkiya, le prakin hi. Okay, it means that pkiya, the shochu met Moshe and Aaron, it means in chapters. So it doesn't mean that Moshe came and the whole story happens at one time. Moshe came, then he was hidden from them again, then Paro made the work harder, then they met him again after a certain chapter of time. 3 months, 6 months, okay. V'chein ha-gol ha-asid yihyeh nigla v'chozer. V'nechzeh. Don't think that the final geula is going to be so easy. And this too relates to Aseres Tmei Teshuvah. Because with all we're davening for, in the liturgy of these 10 days, don't forget to daven for the thing that's the most important. The Bias Gol Tzedek and the final redemption. Of course you should daven for Parnaso, we need to eat. Of course you should daven for Shidduchim, not only for your children, but anyone you know, Klal Yisrael. Of course daven for Refuah Shleima. I was davening for Hadar Golden and Oren Shaw and Aran Arad and Eli Cohen, just that they should be Zahar. I was crying, Kavur Yisraelis, what about them, Hashem? Pidyon Shvuyim. Nah, Yimach Shmon V'Zichron, the 6 who got out of jail. But our children should come home, and we read the Haftorah, Rachel Mavaka Banah. You can see their face. I can see their faces. Hadar Golden and Aaron Shaul. Aaron Rudd's been missing since the early 1980s. He had an infant daughter. Ali Cohen, who served the state, his remains were never returned. We're in such a dark galus. Of course you should daven for the pigeon's field. Of course you should daven for Shalom Bayis, for people who are lacking chas v'shalom. But don't forget to daven. Nafshi LaHashem, so I assume that everyone daven Shachos already, even though my father's a lawyer, and we had an 11th Dibra. There's 13 Animamins, and a Maaser is an 11th Dibra. Thou shalt never assume. But I hope that everyone daven Shachos already. But maybe tomorrow morning, when you say this kapitel of Tehillim, after Yishtabach, have in mind the things that we learned today. Don't forget to daven for what we're all waiting for, which is the morning dawn of the Geula. V'chein ha-gol ha-asid yad nigla v'chozer v'nichzeh. The process to redemption, says the Rav, is a zigzag process. We're going to see the Redeemer, and then he's going to be hidden. Shaharei geula zo asidi lios ki dimyon geulas mitzrayim beharbei inyonim. Because the future geula from Galus Edom, he already said we're in Galus Edom, which we all know, we're in Galus Romi, is going to resemble the redemption from Egypt in many fashions, in many manners. V'chein amar ha-navi, like the Navi says, ki yimei tzeischa me'erin tzitzrayim ar'enu nifla'os. Micha says, like the day that you left Egypt, I will show you wonders. Meaning, the future wonders will be like the wonders of when you left Egypt. V'ka'asher yitkarev ha-keitz, Tihiena Tsaros Rabos. When the end is coming, there will be so many tragedies. A Meron, Shavuos bleacher collapse, Surfside, shooting outside of Denver. The Ka'asher Yiskarev Hakates, Tihiena Tsaros Rabos. Nirpim Atim, Nirpim. Spread out, Al Yeshuba Divrei Shakar. It's going to be much worse right before the end, because Perek Hey ends and Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, begins the next parsha. And what do we have immediately in the next parsha? V'otzeisi v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti v'veisri aschem. Arba / chamisha l'shonis geula. But right before the geula, what did we have? Worse scholars. And that's how it's going to be in the geula ha'asida. Ha'asher yiskarev ha'ketz. Tiana Tsaros, Rabos, Umizchazkos. We're going to have terrible tragedies before the Geula. And they'll be so strong, Umizchazkos. The travails of Golos will be strengthened upon us. V'hu siman ha-Yeshua l'Yisrael. That is a sure sign that the Yeshua is at hand. V'chein amru b'medrash. So the Medrash says, expanding upon these psukim from Yeshayahu, which you have on your handout in the footnote. So first just look at the footnote, so you know what psukim Rabbeinu Bachai is now talking about. two psukim from Sefer Yeshayahu. Okay? Parak Tes Vav, you see it on your hands and on the footnote, psukim Yud Tes Ruchav. And from the west they shall fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun. So from the west to the east, they fear the rising of the Lord, his glory. Ki yavo kanahar tsar. Distress will come like a river. Just like a river flows fast and hard, distress will come like a river. Because the spirit of the Lord is wondrous in it. So there will be a lot of distress. It will flow like a river. And that represents the spirit of Hashem. That's the very next pasuk. Look on your handout. The pasuk you're all familiar with. Even though I would venture to say we're not all familiar. I'm certainly not. I was not before I prepared the shir. Familiar with the pasuk before. But I was familiar with the next pasuk. The introduction to Uval Etzion Goel is sorrows will flow like a river. Having just come up of the flooding last week, I'm sure you saw the son of Rav Michal Ber Dov Weissman, Del Zatzal, was killed by the Tappan Zee Bridge, and he reached out to his children saying, I'm trapped, and they couldn't reach him in time. Tsaros will flow like a river, and then Uval Etzion Goel. When the Tsaros, and that pasuk, obviously you all know, Ulishave Pesha, B'Yakum Nu Mashem, oh, look at that words, Ulishave Pesha, to bring us here full circle. Shave is return, but it's from the word teshuvah. Pesha are sinners. So the redemption will come to Zion, and there will be the redemption and the return of the sinners, promises God. So now let's go back to the Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'chein amru b'medrash, so the medrash says, Ki yavo kenahar tsar ruach Hashem nesosava, when sorrows flow like a river, and the spirit of God is wondrous in it, Imra Isador Shetsaros Baos Alav Kinahar. I would venture to say that we are in a time when sorrows are coming like a river. I mean, the COVID pandemic, Rahmana Litsan, how many people were nifter, you couldn't even go outside, how many people have long lasting symptoms that we don't even realize. And then it starts to get a little better, vaccine, and then we had Meirov, and then the bleachers collapse, and look what's going on, one after another. If sorrows come like a river, chakelo, that's when you should wait for Mashiach. Why? Because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, when sorrows come like a river, uval etzion goal, uleshave pesha b'yachov Hashem. Because then you know that to Zion the Redeemer is coming, and the sinners of Israel will be returned with repentance, says the Lord God. So again, if anyone's not sure why we went through this very powerful Rabbeinu Bechaya, which should give us all some chizuk, I hope, it's because Rabbeinu Bechaya begins by introducing Nafshi Lashem Mishomim Laboker, Shomim Laboker, Mamtinim Vechozrim Umamtinim. We wait, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, for the morning dawn of Geula, and then it doesn't come, and you go back, and you wait again. So just to close here, first I thank you for coming in person. I thank you for learning with me on Zoom. Shir Hamalos Mima Makim, there are two aspects of Mima Makim, says the Rav. One is the external, the pain, the agony, the distress. The other is the internal person that calls out from the deepest recesses of your neshama. Two aspects of Mima Makim. Shema Bekoli, remember, Ki Imcha HaSalicha, there is no Shaliach. For Slicha, it is only the Ribbono Shel'olam who could change the past and ultimately redeem us with full repentance. If you hold on to iniquity, God, who could stand before you? Ki visi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'lidvar achalti. Ki visi Hashem kivsa nafshi. Shomim aboker, Rashi to the capital taught us. It's the same as Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak v'yamitzebecha v'kaveh El Hashem. Rashi, Rabbeinu Bechaya, in depth, explained that we're waiting for the Geula, although Rav Soloveitchik said, if you recall, we're waiting for something else. What are we waiting for? The cleansing process of Teshuvah, says the Rav. So there are two aspects to what we are waiting for. Furthermore, the Rav said we should be impatient. We don't want to wait for God to cleanse us, and furthermore, we should be impatient for the Mashiach. It's a paradox. Hashem wants us to be patient, but we should show him we're impatient. Perhaps if we're impatient enough, Shalishma, the Mashiach will finally come. Ki Hashem Chesed, Behar Be'imo Fidus. May we see the redemption from our sin. May we see redemption from the Golos. may we see the redemption of the pigeon Shvuim, the Hu Yiftah Es Yisrael. Only God in His great mercy can redeem ultimately Israel Mikol Avonasa from all of its iniquity. And when we have full redemption, we will be cleansed from sin and ultimately taken out of this dark, dark galus with the Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera B'yameinu. Thank you so much. Shir is on hiatus. We don't meet, one second, the Thursday right after Yontif. Yontif ends Wednesday night. There's no Shir Thursday morning. We meet Be'ezras Hashem the week, I don't know the date on the calendar, but we don't meet till the Thursday after the first Thursday after Yontif. It's in October, I believe the second week of October. A Gemar V'chasima Tova to everybody. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.